Hello and welcome to the Money Talk podcast. I'm Ed Monk. Today on the show, with gold at a three-month high, we're asking where demand for the precious metal is coming from and why it may be here to stay. That's our focus today, including how gold stacks up against other haven assets. If you enjoy the show, please rate us, share us, or leave a comment wherever you get your podcasts. Gold is on a strong run and this week hit a three-month high above $1,850 an ounce. The metal tends to rise when markets are nervous about other things. So what's going on and why is the picture for gold particularly complex right now? To help answer that, I'm joined by Tom Stevenson, Investment Director here at Fidelity. Tom, anyone holding gold in their portfolio will be pleased, I guess, to see the gains it's made in the last few weeks. But as I hinted at there, when gold moves, something else tends to be going on as well. So what's making gold rise right now?
Yeah, probably best to just put it in a little bit of context, isn't it? Because you're right, the gold price has been rising in recent weeks. But if you take a slightly longer view, going back to last summer, the gold price actually peaked at just over $2,000 an ounce. It then fell back to a little under $1,700 an ounce. In recent weeks, it's clawed back half of that gap, so it's now standing at about $1,850 an ounce. So yeah, it's definitely moving, and anyone holding gold will be pleased, as you say. But yeah, gold tends to react to what's going on in other parts of the economy, and that is clearly what's happening at the moment. It either responds to things going badly, or ironically and a bit counterintuitively, it responds to things going well. It responds to things going badly because it's seen as a bit of a safe haven, but it responds to things going well because it's also seen as a bit of a hedge against rising prices, against inflation. And I think it's that latter situation that we have at the moment. There's a lot of talk at the moment about return of inflation, and that's what gold investors are focused on at the moment.
Yes. So this is another angle, Tom, I guess, in that inflation story that we've spoken about so much and what seems to be preoccupying markets a lot right now. Explain it to us a bit more then, Tom, in relation to gold. Why would higher inflation lead to a higher gold price?
Yes, I mean, the reason, well, there are a couple of reasons. One is around the sort of potential for devaluation of alternative paper currencies. As prices rise, then, you know, the purchasing power of the pound in your pocket or dollar or whatever tends to fall. Now, gold is in limited supply. It's a hard currency in that respect. And so when people are worried about inflation, they will tend to move towards gold, and its price will rise. Now, connected to that, connected to the return of inflation, to rising prices, is what happens to interest rates and to bond yields. And they tend to go up in an inflationary environment. That can be good for the gold price if it leads to, and this is a bit technical, so I'll try and explain it at a very high level. It can be good if it leads to negative real inflation adjusted interest rates. So what causes a negative real interest rates? It's when fears of inflation, so inflation expectations, rise, but bond yields and interest rates are held down, are held low. And in that situation, the gap between them widens. It creates a negative real interest rate. Why is that a good thing for gold? Because gold doesn't pay any income. There's no yield on gold. There's no income from gold. So normally, that's a disadvantage. That's a reason not to hold gold, because you can obviously gain an income from holding a bond or putting money in the bank or whatever. But if those other alternatives are not giving you an income, then suddenly you're not too fussed about not getting any income from gold. So relatively speaking, gold becomes attractive. I hope that wasn't too complicated.
Well, it was a bit, Tom, but you explained it very well. So even someone like I could follow that. But it does. Yeah, I mean, to drill into it a bit more, though, Tom, it is confusing a bit because, as you say, bond yields have been rising. That's fair to say, isn't it? On sort of benchmark US government bonds, for example. And as you say or hint at there, that could potentially remove the attraction of gold because the opportunity cost of holding gold rises a bit, doesn't it, when there's higher bond yields, because that's interest that you could get from a low risk asset somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely true. However, the reality is that bond yields have not risen very much. You know, we're still looking at, 10-year treasury yields of about 1.7%. And the key factor is it's the inflation, because gold is perceived to be a hedge against inflation. It's that real yield. It's the inflation adjusted yield that matters. So if bond yields are rising a little bit, but inflation expectations are rising more, which is the situation that we have currently, then that negative yield becomes more negative. It becomes a bigger negative yield, and therefore gold becomes more attractive in those circumstances.
Yeah, indeed. And at the risk of throwing in yet another complicating factor here, Tom, gold also has this sort of catastrophe role, doesn't it? When people really think that something's going to go very, very badly and bad in the economy and even something which may lead to deflation rather than inflation. I'm actually thinking back to last year, you know, when gold was at those highs. We didn't at that point have vaccines and all the rest of it. There's also this role for gold where people think, well, everything's going to go badly wrong, so gold is the place to be. And that doesn't necessarily have to be because inflation's about to rise.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's absolutely right. Gold has a sort of twin role in the sort of popular imagination. Yes, it's a hedge against inflation, but it's also a hedge against, as you say, catastrophe. I mean, I'll just give you a sort of anecdotal evidence of that, if you like. So my late mother-in-law, she's no longer with us, but she was she grew up in the Punjab in India, and she was caught up in the late 1940s in the partition of India, and literally had to leave her home and cross the border from what is now Pakistan across to India, and they took with them what they could carry, and that in their case was a little bit of gold. And I, you know, years and years later, you know, my mother-in-law, who was not an educated woman and, you know, could not read and write English particularly well, but she always knew what the gold price was. You know, for her, gold had a sort of psychological importance in her life. And I think, okay, that's an extreme example. Not everyone lives through that kind of political upheaval. But I think for many people, it does have that sort of psychological crutch. And that's quite important to when you're trying to understand what's driving the gold price. I think that's quite important.
Yeah, and last word on this bit of it, Tom. So, I mean, it's fair to, given all that, that's not really what's happening right now, is it? It's more that inflationary point, isn't it? That gold's attraction at the moment is not as high as it has been in the past, but it's gaining because of that inflation, probably more than the world's about to end scenario.
Yes, I think so, absolutely. But you know what? It's another reason why people who are enthusiastic about gold are so enthusiastic about it, because it does have merits in a portfolio. You know, if things are very bad or if things are very good, and so that's quite a compelling reason to hold some gold in a portfolio.
Yeah, well, let's move on to that, Tom, because It's the relevant question I hear, I guess, here is how investors should view all of this. I, Tom, have recently added some gold exposure to my investments. I was resistant for a long time for all the reasons that people are resistant to holding gold. It doesn't produce an income. It's just a sort of speculation looked at from one point of view, at least. But I did sort of understand and buy into this inflation risk that was going on sort of second half of last year and into this year. Now, the gold exposure that I've bought, that's gone up. So that's obviously something to be relatively pleased about. But everything else I'm holding has gone down at the same time, broadly speaking. So it's performing, for me at least, that kind of diversifying role. But there's a difference, isn't there, Tom, between using gold in that way, that diversifying way, and using it as a speculation because you think something big is going to change in the economy and you're hoping to make big gains. Gold is something that if you hold it, it can be good that it goes up, but it tends to mean that other things are under pressure.
Yes, and I think that you should welcome that. Actually, you should welcome the fact that gold is a diversifying asset in a portfolio. It does behave differently from other assets, and that's important because we all want to create a smoother ride for our investments if we can, and that actually is increasingly difficult at the moment. So traditionally, people would create that smooth ride by having a balance of, for example, shares and bonds in a portfolio. But increasingly, we're seeing that shares and bonds are actually more correlated in the jargon. They move in the same direction on a given piece of news. And that's a problem for people that are using bonds as a diversifier in a portfolio which is more exposed to equities. So having assets which are not so correlated, and gold is a good example, can be really helpful. And there are others, of course, and we've talked in the past about infrastructure investments, for example, being a good diversifier. Cash, of course, can be a very good diversifier as well. So, you know, having a range of assets in your portfolio is a good thing.
Yeah, and in terms of how people can gain access to gold, there's physical gold, of course, and you can access that various ways. There's funds, I guess, and ETFs, which will reflect the physical gold price. There's also gold mining equities that you can plug into as well. And these things all behave slightly differently, right?
Yes, they do behave differently. It's probably worth just sort of dwelling on this a bit and explaining. I mean, if you buy some physical gold, then obviously its value will move up and down in line with the gold price. That's self-evident. The same is true if you invest indirectly in physical gold by buying an ETF, an exchange traded fund, which invests in the gold price. That will basically track the price of gold both up and down. So too will an investment in gold mining equities. So an investment in a company which digs the gold out of the ground. However, the key difference is that the share price of a gold mining company will be the movements will be exaggerated compared to the movements in the underlying gold price. And that's because, if you think about it, the costs of a gold mining company are relatively fixed. And so if you get a movement upwards in the gold price, then the profits of that company will rise proportionately more. They'll increase more than the gold price itself. The same is true, of course, in the other direction. If the gold price falls, then the profits of that gold mining company will also fall proportionately more. So it's a more, again, in the jargon, a leveraged or a geared investment. But if you're confident about the future direction of the gold price, then it probably makes sense to invest for that reason in gold mining equities, because you'll get a bit more bang for your buck. You'll get a slightly exaggerated rise if the gold price does indeed rise.
Indeed. OK, well, Tom, I think that just about covers it for now. Thanks an awful lot for joining me.
Thanks, Ed.
You've been listening to the Money Talk podcast. Check fidelity.co.uk for daily written updates and articles on these and other topics from across Fidelity in the UK. And subscribe via iTunes to get the podcast downloaded direct to your devices every week. Please be aware that the value of investments and the income you get from them can go down as well as up, so you may not get back what you invest. This information doesn't constitute investment advice and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision, nor should it be treated as a recommendation for any investment. Eligibility to invest in an ISA or a pension and the value of tax savings depends on personal circumstances, and all tax rules may change. You will not normally be able to access money held in a pension until the age of 55. Reference to specific securities or funds should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities or funds, and is included for the purpose of illustration only. Fidelity Personal Investing does not give personal recommendations. If you're unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to an authorised financial advisor.